We want to turn in the Scriptures this morning to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. You know, this chapter has been called the greatest chapter in the Bible. And starts off with, "There is therefore now no condemnation." So, starts off with no condemnation, and the chapter ends with no separation. And all in between, we find that there's no defeat for God to live.
Amen.
And I want to say a few things, maybe, if the Lord will be my guide and my help. And I know that I'm weak, and I know that there every preacher here today is far more capable to stand than I am. But I know they're praying for me.
Amen.
And we want to take our text today, specifically and particularly the 29th and the 30th verse of this 8th chapter of the book of Romans. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." You know, and sometimes we get a little uneasy, as my grandmother used to say, about these verses and about predestination and about election and the things that are written here. And we know that Brother Paul, he spoke of things that were hard to be understood, the Apostle Peter wrote. And we know that these things are hard to be understood in a lot of situations. But I'm not so much on emphasizing the predestination and the election this morning as I am wanting to stress to you and to my heart the blessedness of this. And it seems like it would be an impossibility. See, I know my history, and I know where I came from. And I know my beginnings. And I know my geographical location, and I know all of these things about my life. Being the third child of seven of common parents, common people, they were not influential people. They were not high on the social scale or anything. They both had an eighth grade education. And, you know, there was absolutely nothing that recommended me to eternal life.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
And it's all by God's sovereign grace and His sovereign will. And it's a profound thing.
Amen.
To think that a little boy could be born in such humble surroundings and in such a situation, and that the God of heaven had already chosen that soul before the foundations of the world.
Amen.
Scripture says.
Amen.
That God knew my soul. And you know, I want you to insert your soul and your spirit into what I'm saying here. I can only relate this morning, and I can only deal with those things that, you know, that I know that affects me, that things that have happened down in my life and things. But These same things apply to you. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you know your life. You know where you came from. You know your character. You know all about yourself. And you've got to come to the agreement with me that there was nothing good in me. There was nothing good in this flesh that cried out and said, God, look at this individual. He's better than some of the others around. There was none of that. We were all, according to Ephesians, the second chapter, ye who are dead in trespasses and sin. Dead, necros. That means absolutely in darkness. I had no vision. I was blind, but now I see. I had no vision. I had no way out of the darkness. I could not escape. I could not, by intellect, could not grow to a point where that I could lift myself out of that condition. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But God, in the eternal reaches of time, at some point, He had in a determinate council met, and He chose certain individuals to eternal life. Now, by saying that this morning, I'm not saying that He chose others to eternal damnation. You know, I believe that the Scripture says that light came into the world. And He lighteth every man. Let's see here in John's Gospel. Says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light. Capital L. Jesus is the light. Amen. He is the light that came to me. In this backwoods, you know, in the area that I was raised up and I was born, and where my roots were over there, you know. The simple place that I was brought up in darkness and lost in that condition. It was the light of the glorious gospel that shined into my heart. And it was by that light of God that was sent my way, that called me, that drew me. And I believe we all agree this morning that no man can come unto to the Lord for salvation except the Father which sent him. Draw them. Amen. This morning, friends. Amen. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So I don't believe this morning that certain people were predestined to eternal life and salvation, and then others were predestined to eternal damnation. I believe the Scriptures show us. I believe that we can make a good argument this morning. We can point out this morning from Scripture that there were certain individuals recorded in the Scriptures of God's Holy Word this morning that came near unto salvation. But yet, they were never saved. They had the opportunity availed itself to them. But yet, they died, as far as we know, in their sins. Amen. So this morning I believe that the light does lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe that's the reason that God is, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, that He built a church. And the church is the lighthouse. The church is the candlestick. The church is the gospel bearer. And the church is what sends out the light to a lost and a dark world. And that's our commission. That's our job. That's our purpose here upon the face of God's earth that He's made here. And so I don't believe that's a vain thing. I believe that is commissioned of God. And I believe that through that, God will light up every man that cometh into the world. And the opportunity will avail itself to every individual. And as we study Scripture here, we can find in the book of Acts over here a few individuals that we might make our point with, or we might try as a proof text to bring into your hearing certain individuals in Scripture. Acts 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul. Now he was taken before kings and people of high authority, and the Lord had told him that this is going to be your life. This is what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to send you before kings, and you're going to bear witness for me in their presence. But there was a certain individual here named Felix that Paul came before. And the 24th chapter of the book of Acts here, the 24th verse, and it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, as Paul reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" And so we see here that the Apostle Paul was preaching to him the truth of God's Word. And the light was coming to Felix there. And it was having its effect upon him. And this word here, Felix trembled, in phobos. We get our word phobia from this. A great fear came upon him, and that none other than the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and the call of God and the conviction of God's Holy Spirit. But yet this individual, he had enough free will about himself. Apparently and obviously, he was not the elect of God. He was not predestined to eternal life. But yet still, the word came to him, and the opportunity to yield to the priest's word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came to this individual. And so therefore, we can only ascertain from this that he received a call. He received a call to repentance. He received a call to become a son of God. An opportunity availed itself, and the light shined into his way. And you think about that, how merciful God is, how merciful God was to send the great preacher, the great Apostle Paul, to this individual that was a government official there, and how that God worked there through Paul to bring to him the gospel and to give him that opportunity to repent and believe and be saved by God's grace. But yet, what did he say? "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And so, he didn't take advantage of his opportunity. And although he trembled, the fear of God fell upon him upon hearing these things. Well, we can move over just a few chapters here to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. And King Agrippa. And Paul, he's brought before Agrippa, and he begins to preach to him. He begins to tell of his experience. He gives the experience of his conversion on the road to Damascus, when the light, great light from heaven came and shone round about him there. And it says in the 24th verse of the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.'" And you know, that's what they might tell you today about preaching this old-time gospel, this old-time word of God. And especially the day we're living in, friend, I'm thankful to God that I know my name is written in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
Oh, It's shaking in Wall Street. The world is shaking over in Europe and over in Asia. The financial markets are shaking. Everything is shaking and rattling in the world today. Religion is shaking, and economics are shaking, and politics are shaking, friend. But there's something that I possess in my soul that will never be shaken. I could never be robbed from this. That is the treasure that's laid up in heaven today, friends, and it's under lock and key of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful this morning. You know, there's people and men in our midst here today that I owe a great debt of gratitude and a great debt of thanks to that through the most perilous times in my life was a friend to me and helped me to keep my sanity and helped me not to totally go off of the deep end, friends. So I won't just extend, and they know who they are, and they know those who have helped me in the times of trouble. And therefore, friends, I've been tried by the fire, Brother Lynn. I've been tried this morning. I've been brought to this point to know and to realize that I have eternal life, that I have security in Jesus this morning. I know for a certainty today that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus this morning. And you know, it's once saved this morning to say, yes, I believe that, Brother Andrew. It's one thing this morning for you to agree with me that you're the same mind concerning your security in the Lord. But it's another thing when you've been down to the line, friend. You've been down to the very line, and you've come to the ends of your strength, and you've been brought down in humility, friends, and have been weakness, and you have no strength, you have no power to get up from that position, and yet the God of heaven sends recollections to your mind about a verse of scripture that will help you in that hour, friends. I'm thankful for this word of God. I'm thankful that some of it has been etched into my memory and in my heart this morning. It's the word of life. It has saved my life. Literally, it has saved my life. So, I am a defender of eternal security. I know it is true. Brother, I don't just believe it's true. I don't just think it's true. But I know it's true. I know it's true. And so, that's the greatness of this 8th chapter of the book of Romans here. Who would not want a salvation like unto this morning? Who would not want to have that assurance in Jesus this morning? And you know, we're ridiculed from time to time because we believe and we preach these things that salvation is eternal and that we're sealed to the day of redemption, and we're ridiculed and we're put down upon these things this morning. But I ask the question, who would not want his salvation like that? And that's what this 8th chapter is telling us. So Agrippa, here's Agrippa and Festus, he said, Paul, you're mad. You much learned. You are mad. You lost your mind. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. I am not mad, or I am not crazy, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, amen, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? King Agrippa, I know your history. I know your connections. I know your influences. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, you know, I believe things were pretty intense right here. I believe it got pretty intense. And I believe old Agrippa, you know, he was just holding on to the throne seat there.
Yes.
I believe. And he says to Paul, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Did that sound like a man who was predestined to eternal damnation? I don't think so. I think that sounds like a man who God made a way through the Apostle Paul to put Paul before him, to preach unto him the gospel, that the light might light him in his heart and his soul, might show him his lost condition and his need there. And I believe that that enlightenment came to old Agrippa there. But yet he was too proud. You know, that pride will get you. That pride will go before destruction for you this morning. And so there he was. He couldn't yield to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. He said, almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Well, are there other instances in God's Word? We're familiar with the verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish. Whosoever. How is it then? Well, 2 Thessalonians here. The second chapter. Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica not to be deceived by any means. For the day of the Lord's coming would not occur until certain things happen. And then he goes on just over here just a little bit. In the farthest part of this second chapter, speaking about this individual and the Lord, even him, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. All deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they didn't say because they were predestined to eternal damnation. It didn't say that. It says, but they will perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so that my simple mind and my simple heart this morning tells me that the opportunity was there. The Word went forth, the light of the Word went forth into these people, but they chose to exercise themselves in iniquity and to reject the Word of truth that enlightened them to their condition. And so therefore, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, now that's a great stumbling block. That's a great roadblock there to those who hold the position of, that people are predestined to eternal damnation. The opportunity was here. So God availed the truth to them. God gave opportunity. And the gospel went forth to their hearing. What did the 10th chapter of Romans say? Did they not all hear? Yet they did, verbally, audibly. They heard with their ears. But they didn't obey with their heart. They cut it off. They wouldn't allow it. And for this cause, verse 11, second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. For God will give them up. Ultimately, God will, if they desire to be deceived, if they desire to be deluded, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's the ultimate future for those who have rejected the grace of God. But I want to insert into your thinking this morning that I'm so thankful that for some reason and the foreknowledge of God and history that's farther back than any of us can really even imagine this morning. That God looked forward out there and he looked into Carroll County. He looked into this little area where I lived. And he said, there is a soul right there that I'm going to call. There is a soul that I'm going to predestine to eternal life. There's a soul there that I'm going to bring into my kingdom. That I'm going to bestow upon that individual. The adoption of sons. I'm going to make him a son of God. And this process has come my way. Only by the sovereign grace of God have these things happened. And not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy and his grace hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit this morning. How we who are dead in trespasses and sin could do nothing for ourselves this morning, friend. And I believe that it was necessary that God predestinate a certain group or a certain amount of individuals unto eternal life. Because of the power of the deception, it was necessary that God would secure the souls of the salvation of these elect of God. That he would assure them of eternal life, friend. Because if he had left us open to attack, if he had left that finished work that he performed upon our soul open for the mishandling and the fingerprints of Satan this morning, friends, I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ would have died in vain. That he would have deceived everyone upon the face of the earth. You know, the scripture said that except those days be shortened, that the very elect shall be deceived. Amen. Now, we can't really... we don't know. You know, that kind of deception is hard to fathom. But it's my conviction this morning that except God in his foreknowledge had predestinated an election in the halls of eternity past, that Satan would have deceived every soul even after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, even after this great price had been paid for the redemption of humanity, that if we are left open and unsealed and accessible to the evil one this morning, friend, that he would contaminate everything that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did for you and for me, and we would all be lost. And we cannot argue this morning that if we can lose it, we can never regain it. Amen. It can never be regained. It is impossible. Amen. So therefore, I am thankful. And I believe this morning that I am one of God's elect. I am one of his called. I'm one of his chosen. And you know, and I'd say that with all humility this morning. And it's not because of who I am. It's not by the will of blood. It's not by the will of flesh. It's not by the will of man. But it's by the will of God this morning. That's the only way. And so, friends, I'm so thankful that I was born in the place here where all these little churches have found root and have influenced me over my life period. And I've heard the truth of the Word of God from the time that I remember. We began to go to church when I was 5 years old there. And I heard the gospel of God preached. Brother Mitchell Rayburn is the first pastor of New Liberty that I can recall in my mind. And friends, and then Brother Clarence Carter came after he left and preached for us there for many years. But I'm thankful that I was placed, that my roots were put down in an area of the geographical area where that I could hear the truth of the Word of God. Are you blessed this morning, friend? Aren't you blessed with me this morning for these things? Aren't you blessed that you are placed in a place where there was so much light in the world? Although she's going dark now, and the darkness is falling upon this land and this country. We cannot deny that this morning. But I look forward to Sunday morning where I can go to the place where the light is shining, Brother Tim. I can
get a little vision of life there and the fellowship with my brothers and my sisters who are of like faith with me this morning. Am I blessed? Are you blessed this morning? Are you? Would you exchange for with anybody? Would you exchange your life with anybody in any other location of where we're at? I believe we've been placed in the most blessed place, which is in the United States of America today. They call it the Bible Belt, and it is, and I'm thankful. Amen. To be right in the buckle. Amen. I'm thankful. It has rendered salvation my way. It has caused me to come into the fold. Well, we want to read a little more in this. That's one thing my wife, she gave me this little subtle hint this morning about being long, you know.
That's the Lord lead, brother.
Amen.
Lord,
amen. Yes, amen. Listen here now. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, you just add this up to your testimony, to your experience. Them he also called.
Amen.
And them, and whom he called, them he also justified.
Amen.
I remember the call, and I remember becoming justified by the grace of God. But when he had rendered unto me a saving faith, and he allowed me to exercise my faith, and then when that happened, friend, the burden of sin rolled off of my soul, and I came into the family of God that night. He justified me, and listen to this, not only that, in whom he justified, then he also glorified.
Amen.
He's working on me on that.
Amen.
He's working to bring, you know, this old flesh is not terribly in better shape than it was when I was saved. It's still vile. It's still corrupt. But because of the influences of the Word of God and sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, it has caused me through the Spirit of God and through my own will of my spirit to bring into subjection to the will of God this outward man and to overcome him and to put to death the body of sin.
Amen.
And so he's working on me. But friends, one day, you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
One day, friends, we're going to hear the trumpet. We're going to hear the trumpet sound.
Amen.
I tell you what, if I didn't believe that was the absolute truth, I'd go home and never come out again. I believe it just as sure as I've stated here before you this morning. One day, the saints of God, the elect of God, the saved of God, we're going to hear a trumpet sound, the voice of an archangel. And friends, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that just as sure as these fans are turning.
Amen.
How can he do it? How can he speak this world into existence? How can he do what all he's already done? Because he is God. And beside him, there's no other. He is God. He will always be God.
Amen.
Nobody will ever rip his authority away from him.
Amen.
Now listen to Paul here through the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. What shall we then say? That's a big question there. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us?
Amen.
The whole world's against us. Everything's Amen. Against
right.
us. Physically speaking today, religiously speaking, everything's against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us this morning. Keep these good things.
Amen.
Think upon these good things of God. That's what we're going to have to start doing more day by day, every day,
Amen.
Friends, as we see the bad news, as we see the turn for the worst in the world today. We need to think upon the good things of God. We need
Amen.
To think upon the promises of God. We need to think upon the goal that we're
Amen.
Striving to reach. And he's going to, and not only are we striving, but he's going to bring us to it.
Amen.
Absolutely.
It's infallible.
That's right.
It's unstoppable.
Amen.
If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him, gave up, he gave his own son. He was willing to give the all. He was willing to give the very best. He was willing to send his only begotten son into this world. And also he was willing to come. And you know, he could have come in the form of a divine entity, a divine person, an angel. He could have come in those kind of remnants there. But he came in the form of a man. And I'm going to tell you this morning, he is victorious over the sins of the flesh.
Amen.
He is my hope. If he didn't, you know, we see all these shows and these archaeology and all these things today, where how that they say they found the body and the bones of Jesus in ossuary there, you know, in a box, a stone box. Well, I know that's a lie. Absolutely.
Amen.
They are never going to find the bones of Jesus.
Amen.
But they feed these things to us. If we have hope in this world only, we are men most miserable.
Amen.
But I have a hope that reaches. My hope reaches beyond the veil of the grave, friend. My hope reaches into the heavenlies.
Amen.
I know that in whom I have believed. And I'm sure this morning that he's able to deliver that which I've committed unto him unto that day. I have no doubts.
Amen.
You know, there's some benefits to going through the fire. It's not fun. It's really hard. But I'm guaranteeing you, when you come out, you're going to be better.
Amen.
It's going to be better for you.
Amen.
A lot of your questions will be answered. You will be sure about some things. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Oh, us all. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When he's already given all, he's already given his best. How is it that he will not freely give us all things? He will.
Amen.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Making intercession at the right hand of God for this little country boy that was saved in 1968. He's making intercession for me. And you, he's right there. He's our advocate with the Father. He is our intercessor. He is the one, the go-between for me and you. Listen to him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The martyrs who have died before us,
yes,
they have been counted.
Amen.
As sheep for the slaughter. But who shall separate us from the love of God? Take
Amen.
This with you today.
Amen.
Because you're the elect of God. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
For I am persuaded. You know, persuasion comes because evidence has been presented to your understanding. You persuade people with strong arguments. It's not, Paul didn't say, for I believe without foundations. He didn't say, I believe because I've learned this through studying. He said, for I am persuaded. He went through the fire. He knows. He knows. He's experienced these things.
Amen.
That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There's nothing that you're going to have to endure that's going to separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Nothing, absolutely nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Shouldn't we be grateful? Shouldn't we be thankful here today that we were predestined to the adoption of sons?
Amen.
Called, elect, and chosen. You know, the Lord said many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
Many are called. Not all that say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter in.
Amen.
Only the chosen, the elect of God. God bless you this morning. Think upon these good things. When the sky gets a little darker in this world, this is your light. This
Amen.
Is your
Amen.
Read this.
Yeah.
Open it up.
Amen.
Read it. Go to the Psalms. Read them. It'll lighten your day. It'll lighten
Amen.
Your load.
Amen.
And it'll help you walk another mile.
Amen.
We'll walk and we'll work and we'll, by the grace of God, we will endure to the very end.
Amen.
By the grace of God, not because I'm a great individual or I'm a strong individual. I found out how weak I am. I can't even walk without Him holding my hand.
Amen.
But He's promised He'll go with me all the way,
Amen.
Even to the end of the world.
Amen.
And I believe it. I'm just that way. I absolutely believe it. He will never leave nor forsake me. God bless you today.